I know it's been 6 months, right? It's about 6 months since this thing got shut down. You know, and I was talking to Grow Track One a while ago in our huddle, and I'm going to go over some announcements and stuff, but since we've got a small group, time seems to change a little bit. In those 6 months, when it's like the door got slammed, it's like all of a sudden this locomotive is running down the track, and you begin to see people's lives change, and it was. There was people's lives genuinely getting changed in Grow Track and Encounter and Youth and all of these experiences and opportunities. Come on in, brother, that we have. Just let him pile up right here. Just let him jump in, and that'll be good. But we had all these experiences that people's lives were getting changed, and all of a sudden the door got slammed on it, and the way people responded was unique to everybody responded differently, because all of a sudden we're dealing with a foe that we cannot see. We're dealing with this new thing called COVID that we don't know how to control, and it looks like it's spreading crazy, and it looks like it's taking over everything. And everybody got focused on that for a little while. Everybody did, because it's so new. When something new interjects itself in our life, you get focused on it. But the crazy thing about it is, and I get to sit on this side being on staff now, is that our church is growing. We're growing by the hundreds every week. What that says, because there's a lot of churches that aren't even open yet. There's a lot of big churches that aren't open. There's a lot of small churches in the community that I don't know if they're going to recover from it. But what it says that God entrusts us, Timber Creek, with his sheep. Because these upside down circumstances did not take God by surprise. These upside down circumstances was nothing but a platform for God to say, I'm going to truly show you my glory. And that's what has happened in this. And now the doors of these experiences are opened back up. And we have a very unique opportunity in this season to capture something that a lot of people are missing. And that breaks my heart, because I know everybody has, come on in, sister. Everybody has unique circumstances that keep them at home, and I understand that. But there's also people that have gotten complacent. There's also people that are operating in fear over faith. And the reason I say this is because the greatest encouragement someone can have is your voice. You know someone that needs this. You know someone that should be sitting beside you in this class that's not here tonight. I challenge you and encourage you to reach out to them, okay? You may be the voice that changes their mind. And it's not a condemnation thing. What I tell people is take you a couple weeks or a couple days and truly spend time with Christ. And ask him, God, are you ready for me to move in this season? And the responses that I'm getting from people is crazy, okay? And so I just challenge y'all to do that, because here's the deal. I've always heard empty seats are a big deal. For a long time, I didn't understand it. I understand it now. Because there could be somebody sitting right here tonight that's hurting, that needs to understand what prayer's about, all right? That might need prayer. That's sitting at the house alone, wondering how they're going to make it through the night. That person could be sitting right here. There could be a marriage sitting here and here that are on the brinks of disaster, on the brinks of divorce. All right? And if you would consider their kids, that's the reason why empty seats are a big deal. So you are the greatest recruiter. And I'm not recruiting this because, listen, Grow Track doesn't cost y'all nothing. It costs the church something. The recruiting has nothing to do with our gain. The recruiting has to do with the fact is that we know what happens when people get the Word of God, when people go through this, okay? I remember James Copeland. I saw him. I met him a long time ago, and he was this loud, just unfinished person that come through Encounter, and when God illuminated him to be on the team, and now you look, he's gone through all the growth, and now he's a coach. And he's one of our main table leaders in Encounter. And the people that James has impacted, it'll blow your mind. But what happened is James went through these experiences and allowed God to transform his life. Am I right, James? Amen. And if it works for James Copeland, because I can say this about James Copeland, if it works for James, it works for everybody. So I want y'all to really take that to heart. All right, as we get going, most of y'all know me. If you don't, I'm Justin Lindsay. I am the associate of ministries here. I am the red carpet director at Timber Creek, and so that's who I am. I want to look, if you are on the Grow 2 team, stand up. That's most everybody in there. I love it. If you need something, these are your people. All right? If you need something, you go to them. James, raise your hand. James is a coach. We got Tony Reyes. Come on in. We got Tony. Come on in. We got Tony Reyes. If y'all need something, this is your people. Go to them. Use them. God has assigned them. God has anointed them. And God has appointed them for this season. Yes, ma'am? Oh, I thought she was needing me. Okay, go ahead. So if you need them, go to them, all right? I want to go over a couple announcements, and then we're going to get going in this thing. Couple announcements. Last week, groups launched all across the campus. We have groups meeting. Hey, tonight is the first night, and this is exciting, that Grow Track 1 is launched in Iglesia over in the Annex building. Yeah. That's big. That's huge. You bet. All right. So all across NAC, online groups, because of COVID, we have this new campus, this online campus that we've been forced to launch and now forced to manage. And there's online groups. There's groups all across the campus. There's groups meeting on Tuesday nights and Monday nights and in homes. And it's powerful to see what groups are doing. The Grow Tracks were supposed to launch last week, but that massive storm that we got, I think it rearranged some of the pine straw in my yard. That's about it. That's all it did. I had stuff tied down, generator ready, and I sat on that porch, and I was like, what? Now, I've got all this gas, and it's crazy. All these groceries. Oh, yeah, my kids are going to be eating raviolis for months. That's all right. Praise God. And so, anyway, we've got Encounter. If you have not been through Encounter, Doc, will it change your life? Definitely. Kelly, will it change your life? Yes. Eric, if you haven't been through Encounter, it kicks off next Sunday, the 13th, in the chapel. If you've been through it and you're still battling, come back through it again. All right? I've been through it since the beginning, and God changes my life in it every single year. I've never missed a class. I've never missed a retreat, and God changes my life in it every single year. So Encounter kicks off in the chapel next Sunday at 7 o'clock. Okay? Do not miss that. Also, we have Kid Grow. So we're going to do this again this year. You can sign up on your table right there to work Kid Grow. Please, hey guys, our kids are important to this church. Our Kid Grows are hurting, all right, with people volunteering. If you sign up for Kid Grow, you do not get counted absent. You counted credited to this class. So please, for the kingdom, for our children, for the future of this church, for the future of this community, invest in them. Pick a Wednesday night, please, guys, and sign up and go help in Kid Works. All right? I promise you, you'll love it. They're a trip. They're kids. The great thing about it is at the end of the night, you get to give them back to their parents. It's great. It is. It's great. And you can go in any of the Next Step ministry opportunities that you want to be part of, any groups. You can go to the timbercreekchurch.com on the app, and it tells you all about them. I've introduced the Dream Team. The Dream Team to you, and now I want to dig into this. We're talking about, before I get started, I know most of y'all, who started Grow Track 2 last semester? Ever? So this is your first time? All right, this y'all's first time? Sweet. I know you started it and it stopped. And in that, we could have a tendency to think, I've already been through this, I've already heard this material, I'm just going to coast through until we get to the new stuff. Listen, God's got something fresh for you in this. God never has ever offered stale bread through his word. So re-engage, re-amp up, and receive this new bread and this new word that God has for you through this teaching, okay? And we're going to do a lot of group work in here. And that's what we're going to talk about now. As I want to talk about the expectations of this class, because I'm assuming everybody in here has been through Grow 1, right? Okay, yeah, that's first and foremost. So since everybody's been through Grow 1, this is the expectation. Remember in Grow 1, we talked about building the foundation. We talked about pouring a slab. Has anybody in here ever built a house? One person. All right, Gilbert.
Built it yourself or had it?
No, Doc had it built. Yeah. No, I know. got a fireman here. We got a doctor. Now, watched it go up. The first thing they do is what? Pour slab. Then they begin to build the framework. That's what this class is. The slab was poured in Grow One. We're fixing to start adding the rafters and the pillars and the stud walls and whatever else you put on, whatever else name of a framework that you hang on the foundation. We're fixing to start building this thing because in Grow Three, you're going to start hanging walls. You're going to start decorating. You're going to start seeing this creation, this building, this foundation of Christ become to life because there's going to be so much application in there. You die to self in there. But Grow Two takes it to another level. Hence Grow One, Grow Two. And so what can we expect in Grow Track Two? So like we talked about, it's, come on in. You're okay, come on in. Blessed to have you. How are you? Are you new here? Come on in, Meredith. But is we talked about the foundation of it, okay? It is very necessary, and that's the reason I'm not a builder, because I am terrible at it. I built some little garden boxes for my kids for little gardens, and they already fell apart. They didn't make it through one garden season. There's no way I could build a house. There wasn't no foundation. All right, so with this foundation, we're taking the right steps. This is the next step in getting to the next process in your life of growth with Christ, no matter if you're a seasoned vet, if you're on our deacon team like Dr. Joe, or this is the first time you've ever heard this before, I promise, there's framework for areas of your life. It's right there, Amy. That God's going to begin to build up so we can hang things off of it in the spring. All right. So what is different about this and Grow Track 2? Number one is I got to set my timer because if not, we will be in here all night. It's the teacher approach. Grow Track 1 is a teacher-driven class. Okay. Grow Track 2 is a facilitator. So there's going to be a whole lot more group work than there is teaching. Everybody can say amen to that. It's okay. Thank you, James. That was a joke. The level of learning is higher, which means the accountability is higher. Here's the thing. With more knowledge and more wisdom comes more responsibility. They go hand in hand. So when God gives you more of His Word, when God gives you more of things to fix in your life, of things to redirect, when God gives you and calls you to more wisdom and more knowledge of His kingdom, He doesn't give it to you to sit on. He gives it to you to act on. So that right there, with the knowledge comes the responsibility. But there is a greater accountability in this class. There's going to be more opportunities for interaction and feedback. There will be more work in this class. There's a lot of work in this class. There is homework. Yes, there is homework in this class. But it's good homework. It's spiritual homework. Take it up with God. It really is. It's some of the things that you get to do. The reason I like it, I hate it being called homework, but it's work that you do at home, is because there's those intimate times when you get to sit down and there's no noise. And there's not a person to the left or to the right of you. And you get to get real with God real fast. Okay? And God gets real with you real fast and begins to illuminate those areas that you need to write down so He can deal with it this semester. And so I love the aspect of homework. But with that comes greater growth. But greater growth, Dusty, you work out. How do you get bigger?
Eating right.
The same way. Physically, you get bigger is the same way spiritually you get bigger. All right? So with greater growth that comes means that we have to eat more. We have to eat thicker cuts of meat. All right? We have to eat heartier food. We have to eat the right food, just like Dusty said. So in this, we're going to eat the right spiritual food. So the food that you're going to get this semester is a whole lot more heartier, a whole lot more meatier than what we got in Grow Track 1. Okay? But there's going to be greater growth. I am living proof of growth from groceries. I'm also living proof of spiritual growth through Christ. All right? The same way you feed the physical body is the same exact way you feed the spiritual body. It's the same exact way, okay? And so with that comes for desire for more. What do we desire more for? It's called spiritual hunger. Look at Matthew 5 and 6. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That is pursuit of Christ. When you're pursuing Christ, righteousness is with it. All right? It says they will be filled. Isaiah 55, 1 and 2, and he asks, and this is God talking basically to the Jews, and he says, is anyone thirsty? He says, come and drink. He says, even if you have no money, come take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. He says, why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me, and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food. What are they talking about in this scripture? Are they talking about food? What are they talking about? Huh? Relationship. That's what he's talking about. He's asking them because he's saying it doesn't cost you nothing. That's the reason why I said a while ago, Growth Track 2 doesn't cost you nothing. It costs you some time. But financially, doesn't cost you nothing. But you get fed. He says, come and take your choice of wine or milk. He's saying, come to my table and you'll have your choice. Come and feed at my table. And he says, it's all free. He says, why do you waste your time and your energy and your money on things that does not strengthen you? Why do we waste our time and our energy and our money on things of this world that do not strengthen us? We all do it. We all do it. And he says, listen to me. That's an action. That's knowledge. And he says, and if you listen to me, and you will eat what is good, and you'll enjoy the finest foods there are. See, God wants us to hunger for good things and the right things. Okay? We all hunger for certain things in our life. I love to fish. It is one of my greatest passions in the world. I love it, except for in July and August because that is miserable. But there's nothing better to me than easing across the water and seeing my trot line jugs going woof, woof. I love it. It's exhilarating to me. I love seeing a ton of fish in my freezer, and I don't even eat fried fish. I give most of it away. I just love it. I pursue that because it fulfills me, but it only fulfills me to a certain level. Being a husband fulfills me. I adore my wife. I adore my kids. It only fills me to a certain level. All right? I've been passionate about being in full-time ministry most of my life, okay? And I'm in it now, and does it fulfill me? Yeah, to a certain extent. The only thing that truly fulfills me is when I get to sit in my chair, and it's that relationship with Jesus, and I know I get to walk out as a husband, I get to walk out as a dad, I get to walk out as a staff member, I get to go across the water as a fisherman. When I do that, I know that the presence of God is with me because of relationship. That is the greatest thing that I've ever achieved in my life, but I had to pursue it. See, when we eat junk food, our physical bodies lose appetite and desire for the good. Healthy foods that we need to grow and have healthier physical bodies. So in the same way, we often try to satisfy spiritual hunger with relationships, career, social status, achievements, wealth, and more. And it will not get us there. It won't. When I was in my teens, I had the privilege of painting the most massive race car trailers you've ever seen, the most high-dollar units you've ever seen going up down the road. I made more money than most 20-year-olds ever have unless they're a professional athlete, and I had nothing. I chased that money most of my life, and I never had nothing to show for it. Even when my dad would invite me to church, and I knew this where I was supposed to be, and I said, Dad, I have to work. And I told him one time, I said, Dad, I can't afford not to work. He said, Son, you can't afford not to have this relationship with Christ. I spent almost 35 years of my life wasting my life chasing something that could never fill me. I couldn't get enough. I couldn't make enough money. I couldn't have enough relationships. I couldn't have enough friends. I couldn't have enough fun because the next day I woke up empty. I was feeding my spirit with junk food. It was starving to death. It was starving to death. It was a temporary feeling until I met Jesus and he changed my life forever and I understood finally what it meant to eat real bread and drink living water. That's what we get to do in this class. Before we move forward, is anybody okay with that? Is anybody in here spiritually hungry? Right? Yeah, I'm a very interactive guy. Y'all know me. I'm obnoxious. That's okay. Are we spiritually hungry? All right? It doesn't matter if there's 50 of us in here or five. All right? Jesus ran around with 12 all the time. We got more than 12. We're good. Okay? If you're not spiritually hungry in here, you're blind. Because we never get to a place where we're not spiritually hungry. We never can get enough of Jesus. We can never have enough of that. We'll never get to a place in our life where we said, "Oh, that's enough goodness, Jesus. Whew, that's enough peace. That's enough strength. That's enough provision. That's enough protection around my family. I'm good." All right? That's spiritual hunger. And I don't know about y'all, but this jacked up season we just come out of, I still believe with everything that's in me that 2020 is going to be the biggest harvest we've ever seen of saved souls come through the door of this church. And there are leaders sitting at these tables, whether you're a table host or not, that could be the catalyst. No, that is the catalyst that serves in this church to reach those people. You can't feed somebody something that you don't have at your table. You can't give somebody something that you don't have. Well, if you're not spiritually full on the Word of God, you can't feed somebody else. Let's get full. Does anybody want to get fat spiritually? I've got the physical fat down. Let's get spiritually fat, okay? All right. See, the great thing about this, and we're fixing to go into some root work, is God hungers for relationship with us. When we serve Him, and this is how we serve Him, with our time, our talent, our treasures, and our testimony. It says we are presenting offering sacrifices to Him. According to Numbers 28, we're fixing to look at that. It says our gifts are pleasing in aroma to Him. It says, the Lord said to Moses, give them instructions to the people of Israel. The offerings you present as special gifts are pleasing aroma to me. They are my food. The people of Israel didn't have nothing. God fed them manna. All he had was themselves. The offering God was talking about was them. That's all God asked of the Israelites. Just give me you. I just want your time. I want your heart. I want your passion. I want you to serve me, and I'll take care of the rest of it. That's all God wants from any of us. That offering that's talked about here is self. God wants us to do this. When I was 35 years old and divorced and was at the end of my life, I stood on the porch of my little old trailer house and I threw my hands up in the air and I said, all right, God, let me try it your way. I said, I'm yours. I'm only 40. 5 years, God transformed my life. If y'all knew me when I was starting, I wish I had a picture of me when I was 35 years old. You wouldn't recognize the pain and the suffering that was in my life. I'm only 5 years down the road. That's a blink of an eye. And God has transformed me to what I understand, that offering, he just wants me. I have nothing left to give him. I ain't got no money. I mean, I got three daughters and a beautiful wife. They take it all. All right? I mean, y'all seen my truck? It's got bedliner sprayed all over. I don't have a truck to offer him. I don't have a career to offer him. I don't have special gifts to offer God, but what I can do is I can give him my talents that he put in me. Meredith, you do it all the time. Babe, you can sing. Better know that. That's a talent that God gives you, and if you muffle that voice of yours, what you're doing is you're taking your sacrifice and offering away from God. You're called to be on that stage changing people's life, and you know that. But our offering is us. Guys, if you are not operating in the offering that God has called you, and this is not a route to get you to serve. All right? When you serve, you do not benefit the church. What are you thinking? You serve not for Timber Creek. You're serving God. This is not Timber Creek's house. This is God's house. We're serving Christ. These aren't our sheep. These are God's sheep. If you're not plugged in serving somewhere, you are missing joy in your life. And you're missing relationship. Because it comes through serving. Because God said, I'm going to create them to be like me and to serve me. That's all we have to offer God. That's it. Okay. We're fixing to do this spiritual inventory thing. I think I went over a little bit, but we're okay. Yeah, just like 2 minutes. We're good. We're fixing to do a spiritual inventory thing. We're going to take a moment at your table, all right, and look at this spiritual inventory. Everybody got it in their book? You good? Is it an appendix? No, is it right there, Eric? Right there. Okay. And I want y'all to answer these questions seriously. What do you hunger for the most? What is it you hunger for? What junk food can I abstain from during this Grow Track 2 semester so that my hunger can be satisfied with the right thing? And they are not talking about Cheetos or them little Debbie Zebra cakes because I love them jokers. I don't allow them in my house, but I love them, okay? Because I eat all of them. That's not the junk food they're talking about. What junk in our life consumes us that robs our time from God? What are the things that we can give up during this time in Grow Track 2 to where that shift begins to change, okay? And we're going to take about 10 minutes to do this and go. All right, because I wasted a lot of time a while ago. Okay. Well, you know, the talking at the table is great. That's relationship. Well, we're going to move into the next part of it. We're going to talk about prayer tonight. Listen, prayer is paramount, but listen, you cannot grow and you cannot draw closer to Christ without prayer. It's just like me and my wife. All right? I can love her all day. I can serve her nonstop. But if I don't sit down and talk with my wife, there's no connection there. Okay? So prayer is very, very important. I want to begin with prayer, and I want to pray Psalms 42 over you. And I'm going to read it in a prayer form because I think this scripture, it just paints a picture about our desire, or what our desire for God should look like, okay? So let's pray. It says, as the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. It says, I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before Him? Father, as we begin this journey and grow to God, and as we turn the page and into prayer, Father, I pray that the thing within us, God, that desires you or desires anything else outside of you, God, I pray that you grab a hold of that, Father God, and I pray that you twist it to the extent, God, that we desire you over everything. And God, that we desire you not just in passerby conversation, but God, that we desire and we look forward and we seek out and we're intentional about those times, God, where we sit down and we get in those quiet places, Father, whether it be driving in a car and whether it be in our prayer closet, God, or wherever it be, God, that we find and we make that time that allow you to draw us near through conversation. God, I just pray that as we go into this next part, that you illuminate the importance, the value, God, and the power and the responsibility that comes through prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Okay, guys. We're fixing to look at this real quick. I want to look at the purpose of prayer. We're going to go over this. I'm going to go through this pretty briefly. Prayer is very intentional. And when something's intentional, that means it has a purpose. Okay? Like I said, our relationship with God will not grow without prayer. It has to happen. Study the Bible. The greatest victories were preceded by prayer. The greatest attacks had prayer woven all through them with victory at the end. Study the Bible in and out, and there's it talks about nothing more. Prayer is the number one thing that it talks about the most throughout the whole entire Bible because everything is a conversation with God. And that's all prayer is. So let's look at that. Number one, fill in the blank. The purpose of prayer is to talk and connect with God. That's it. It's that simple. It's to talk and connect with God. We have a direct path to the presence of God through prayer. Jesus Christ made that available upon the cross when he died and the veil was torn, and we got to usher in and step into the presence of God through the blood of Jesus. So now we get to have somebody's not getting that. We get to have conversation with God when we want to. We can sit down, all right? We can be driving, you can be in the shower, you can be mowing the yard, you can be wherever, and have a conversation with the one that created you. That should get you excited. That's the purpose of it. Number two, to hear what he has to say. Yes, prayer is double-sided. Prayer is not all about us talking. It is about us listening. Some of my most powerful prayers is when I turn everything off in my truck and I'm driving down the road and I say, God, I just want to hear from you. Go sit in silence and seek God, and I promise you he'll show up. But here's the thing. When he speaks, whatever he speaks, now you have a responsibility to act. Okay? Find that time to get along. Mine's in my truck. I used to drive the Nacogdoches every morning at 4:30. From my house, it's 38 minutes. I had a plan, and by the time I got to the end of my road, I would say, God, number one, thank you for this opportunity. But number two, I just need to hear from you this morning. And I never, ever, ever showed up at work without hearing from God. Never did. He always spoke something to me. And it wasn't these big revelations a lot of the time. Sometimes it was. But sometimes it was just the peace to know that God had his hand on me and my family that day. That's worth everything in the world. That's worth it all. Number three, to receive what you need from him. To receive what you need from him. I want to spend a little time about this because you can hear, wait a minute, prayer so I can receive what I want from God. Well, God, I need a new boat. And my truck is running a little ragged. I need a new truck. That's not what that means. So I want to look at what that means. Mark 11:24. Here it is. This is the Amplified Version. I absolutely love this scripture. It says, for this reason I am telling you, whatever things you ask for in prayer, here it is, in accordance to God's will. That's vital. That if God's will is for you to have a new boat, he'll bring it. Okay? And it says, then believe with a confident trust that you have received them and they will be given to you. We cannot ask outside of God's will. I think we can show you that in James 4:2-10. It says, you do not have because you do not ask it of God. It says, you ask God for something and do not receive it. Look at this. I want you to highlight this, underline this. This is one of the most key things in this scripture. This is why I love reading the Bible. This is a road map to prayer, guys. If you said, I don't know how to pray, I'm fixing to show you. It says, because you ask with the wrong motives. What is your motive? There is something in the Bible called the Lord's Prayer. And it says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And what that is saying is it's saying, God, the will that you have seen for me from before the day you created me, that will sets in heaven. I want to receive it. I want it to be done on earth. That's what we have to pray for. And it says, because you ask with wrong motives out of selfishness or with an unrighteous agenda, so that. Anytime you see the word so that, but, and, or in the Bible, you need to highlight it because now something is transferring. He is giving us some instructions, and on the backside of these instructions, he's fixing to tell us the results. It says, so that when you get what you want, you may spend it on your desires. That's the reason why we cannot ask from an unrighteous stance. Because if God give us everything we've ever asked for, we would use it for our own hedonistic desires. And our own hedonistic desires will get us one thing, death. That's it. That's the only thing it'll ever accomplish for you. That's the reason why God says, I can't give you that because it'll become your God. I know why God didn't make me rich. I fish all the time. I know why. I just know. This is a crazy story. You go back and look at my lineage early. My dad's grandpa was the biggest oil field owner in Oklahoma. I was two generations away from being a billionaire. He lost it all. Thank God. Because I know what I'd done with it. It'd have been bad. But my hedonistic desire would have ruined my life. That's why God says, you got to pray a certain way. You got to pray for my will because my will for you is perfection. And it goes on to say, it says, come close to God with a contrite heart and he will come close to you. When we seek God, it says that God will draw you near to him. God doesn't have to move. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. He's in everything that we do. He doesn't have to reach out and get you. When we draw close to him, he just says, here. He pulls us close. That's what happens. And it says, humble yourself. These next two sentences, if you get anything, get this. This is something that I had to learn and it changed my life forever. It says, humble yourself with an attitude of repentance and insignificance. Yes. In the presence of the Lord, and listen, and he will exalt you. He will lift you up. He will give you a purpose. If you've ever heard me teach, you've heard me teach about reverse economics. God's saying, if you will come to me humbly, I'll exalt you. The world tells you, if you want to be exalted, operate in pride. It says, go and take it. Go get it. Be a prideful person if you want to be exalted in society. God says, you humble yourself, and I'll exalt you. That's reverse to what everything else we know. That's amazing that all we have to do is get low and come into God's presence, and he'll pick us up and lift us to levels we never thought possible. James 5 and 16 says, the heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. When put into action and made effective by God, it is dynamic and can have tremendous power. It can be a put into effect by God. That means if it's put into effect by God, it was God's will for you. And when God wills it for you, nobody can stop it except for you. That's it. I've been blocking God's will for my life for a long time because I wanted what Justin wanted. When I finally said, God, I just whatever it is, I don't care anymore. And I began to see his will for my life. I was like, wow, that's a lot better than what I was going to do. But it comes from the prayers of a righteous man. A righteous man means right standing in God. That I just give y'all a roadmap to successful prayer. Dutch Sheet says this. I've become convinced that in some situations that our prayers actually release cumulative amounts of God's prayer, of God's power until enough has been released to accomplish his will. I believe that. Persistent prayer, we're going to talk about that here in just a second. Persistent prayer, it's powerful. All right, I want y'all to look at this key scripture. Go to the key scripture real quick. Right here. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Oh, that's mine. I was like, yes, Lord, that's me. I'm right on time. We're going to take 10 minutes in the group work. All right. If you will, Tony, go and get us some music going. We're going to take 10 minutes. Those four questions as a table. Hey, guys, let's engage as a table. Let's do this as a table, as a group. James, jump in there with somebody. All right, wherever you want to jump in. And let's answer these four questions about this scripture. And go. In this passage right now, let's take right here, this table. So was he given a suggestion or was he given instruction? Let's look at it. It says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving What?
Be made for all.
Be made for all. You could say it was a suggestion, but when I urge my kids to do something, that's yeah. And what really changes it is when it says, "Be made for all people." He's saying, "Hey, this has to happen for all people." So it's the word "urge" can throw you off a little bit, but God doesn't urge us to do something that's not instructional. We still have will. There's a will there, but there's still instruction. My kids have a choice when I urge them to do something. And if they'll heed to that instruction that I'm urging them to do, you see what I'm saying? So it is an instruction, okay? All right, Dr. Cardi, let's look at y'all's number two. List the four kinds of prayer mentioned in the Scripture. Yeah? Okay. Yeah. All right, Eric had a good question a while ago. He's like, prayer? How is prayer a type of prayer? Well, look at it like this. Running is a form of running, but so is sprinting is a form of sprint is running. Jogging is a form of running, and what Eric does, he said that, what do you call it?
Tortoise-like.
I've seen him. He's still running. He's a runner. They're all forms of running, but running's still a form of running. Prayer is a form of prayer. There's different types of prayer. Okay? Right here. Who's Paul talking to in this? Who's Paul asking Timothy to pray for in these specific areas? Huh? Who's this for?
He said that it's to pray for the king and those in authority, but he also shows that it's to benefit all.
That's right. What I think is awesome about it is that he says for kings and all those in authority. So you have to consider that. See, kings and them, they were up here. They were your high rankings. They didn't answer to nobody. And what Paul's telling Timothy, he says, hey, even the kings and the people in authority, they need that right there. You need to be praying for them. That's who you need to be praying for. He's saying, do this. He says, for all people, for the kings and those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. When you could reach, if there was peace with the kings and the authority, everybody lived in peace. But you had a tyrant for a king, it was chaos. It was chaos. So he's saying, hey, you need pray for them. That's good. And number four, what is the results of praying in these specific ways? Let's look at, does anybody jump in there? What is the results? What is in the scripture? What is it? What are the key words in there? Why? Read that, say that again, Gilbert. I know that's your voice.
Don't make me do it again.
Say it again. That was perfect. Gilbert.
Well, so that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness.
Man, that's awesome right there. We're fixing to go over those four types of prayers.
But if you look at it, it goes on, this is good and pleasing God our Savior.
And it says, who wants all people to be saved and come to knowledge of the truth? Listen, the kings that run kingdoms, they needed God just like the peasant did. They weren't no better. They weren't nobody. They just had a position of authority. But they needed Jesus and a relationship with God just as much as the one by the well. But it says that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Is there anybody in here that does not desire to live a peaceful and quiet life? Does anybody in here just seek after chaos? Thank goodness. We are all looking for something in our everyday life. And at the end of the day, it's one thing. It's peace. We want peace in our finances. We want peace at home with our wife, our husband. We want peace with our children. We want peace with our health. We want peace. That's what everybody pursues something, and that is peace, and it comes from only one place. So let's look at the four kinds of prayers real quick, and we'll wrap this up. Okay? We've already covered it pretty good, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. But so the number one is supplication. It's supplication. All right, it means to be humble and earnest, and it means to petition. There's a definition of earnestness. It means serious in intention for effort. This is, to me, the greatest example of an earnest prayer that we will ever experience or see in our time. And it was also the most crucial prayer that I know of. Yes, Lord. Finally, I got to do it. I'm going to look at Luke 22, 39 through 44. Says Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed. I said a while ago, before any great victory, there's prayer. Before any great attack, there's always prayer. And there's prayer all throughout it. This is the greatest victory that mankind will ever be able to hang on to. Because this victory here is what saved us from an eternity in hell. It says, listen guys, this is Jesus speaking. This ain't me. So when you read this, you have to understand not the author, the speaker, the one that said this. I can't express this enough. The fact that this is Jesus saying this, that this is Jesus speaking this, shows the power of prayer, but it also shows the power of God's will. You look at this. It says, "Father, if you are willing," what do we talk about? You got to ask for that will. The first thing he says, he knows where he's going. He knows what he's fixing to endure. He knows that his body's fixing to be ripped to shred and he's going to die. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane right now, guys. This is where he's at. He's on his knees. He says, "Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me." What that means, he said, "God, if there is any other way to do this, if we can save mankind any other way, take this cup from me." It says, "Yet not my will, but yours be done." And it says, an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Buddy, that's when you're in a position where you're praying so hard that blood is dripping from your forehead like sweat, you're in an earnest prayer. That you done dug into something. And here's the thing is God knew, Jesus knew, that none of us could ever accomplish that. None of us could ever be in that position and be victorious. None of us could ever pray that prayer and really mean it, except for him. But he prayed that prayer not for him, that was for us. That prayer was for us, guys. He wasn't praying for him, he knew. He just saying, "Hey, Chief, if there's another way, let's consider that. But if not, let's go." That to me is that right there sums up a supplication prayer. Just know that in those times in your life where you have to dig down and you're facing a giant that you don't have the capabilities of overcoming, just know that there's a form of prayer that Jesus showed us how to battle, how to dig our heels in, how to get into what's called a position of purpose. The greatest position a man can be in, his strength is not with his feet dug in the ground, but it's on his knees in a humbled, surrendered position, crying out to God. You want to fight a warrior stance? Get on your knees. Jesus knew that. Jesus was on his knees with his face in the dirt in a warrior stance. Number two, prayer. Just talked about it, prayer. It is a petition to God. It's a request. It's talking to God. It's having a conversation with God is what we're doing right now. Quit overcomplicating prayer. Prayer is a sin. Listen, we are not sophisticated enough. Nobody on the planet is sophisticated enough to come up with a sophisticated prayer that has more effectiveness. They don't. God says, give me your childlike faith. You want to see mountains move? Get a kid to pray for you. You want to know why? It's because how they pray and where they pray from. That's it. That's all you got to do. Prayer is talking to God. That's it. Go sit down and have a conversation with Jesus. Number three. And number two should be daily. I hope you don't have to have earnest or supplication prayers all the time. That's digging your heels in, but guess what? It's there when we need it. The second one's prayer. This should be daily. You should walk and talk with God all day long. People think I'm crazy a lot of times because I have to pray all the time because of the way my mind works. And I'll be going to the grocery store and people look at me like I'm crazy. It's because I'm talking to God. They think I'm talking to my invisible friend in a buggy. No, it's Jesus. I usually don't wear my Democrat shirts in HEB. Oh, ain't going to that church. Number three, Thanksgiving or giving thanks. Okay? It's Pastor Jeremy said something to me that sums this prayer up. This is a quote from Pastor Jeremy about 3 weeks ago. It says, when you say thank you after, that's gratitude. When you say thank you before, that's faith. Okay? When we sit down and pray for a meal, God, thank you for this food. Thank you for the amen. Thank you. That's gratefulness. But when you're dealing with a battle and you say, God, thank you for delivering my family member that's in bondage, that's faith. Thank you for protecting my children every day, that's faith. Thank you for strengthening my marriage, that's faith. Give him thanks. Be thankful for what you got. But when you can thank him for something that's unseen, that's faith. That should be part of your everyday life. You should have thankful Thanksgiving prayer every day of your life. If you're waking up in the morning, you have a roof over your head, even if you got a hoopty truck to drive, okay? Whatever, it doesn't matter what clothes you're wearing, if you got a little bit of food on the table, if you got some friends surrounded you, and you got some family that you love you, and every one of you got a church that loves you, guess what? You have lots to be thankful for. Lots to be thankful for. Be thankful. Give thanks. This should be in your everyday life. And then number four is intercession. Intercession. Listen, guys, intercession intercepts the plan of the enemy. In Ezekiel 22 and 30, it says, I'm looked for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land. He's saying, I was looking for someone to stand in the gap. Have you ever had to stand in the gap for someone that couldn't stand in the gap for themselves? When someone asks you, hey, brother, I need you to pray for me. That's intercessory prayer. That's you saying, what Jesus did, that was intercessory prayer for us too. It was a supplication prayer, but that was intercessory for us too, buddy, I promise. But intercessory is where you say, you know what, I'm gonna step up in this gap. And I'm gonna use my faith, and I'm gonna pray to God for you. All right, I'm gonna be the intercessory to you. So everybody in this room has something or someone that needs a touch of God. Am I right? If you don't, tell me your secret, please. But everybody has someone or something in this life that needs the hand of Jesus to touch it. You should be intercessory prayer for them daily. It works. It's powerful. It says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Creation has been praying for this person, this person, and this person, and this person right up to today. And we have to keep doing that, guys. We have to keep battling. You ought to be praying for this church, praying for our pastors, praying for our people to come back, praying for the new ones that are showing up. Guys, we have 20 to 30 new families showing up on our campuses, Knack, Lufkin, and Iglesias, every Sunday. We had a lady show up here that had got beaten by her husband and was going to shoot herself that night because she couldn't live no more. And guess what? Some women in this church stood up in the gap for her, and she's coming to church to give her life to the Lord. Hey, happens every day. Happens every day, every Sunday, okay? This should be part of our battle plan every single day. Andrew Murray says this, we'll wrap it up. God's giving is inseparably connected with our asking. Only by intercession prayer can that power be brought down from heaven, which will enable the church to conquer the world. If there's ever been a time that this world needs the church, it's today. Look, turn the news on or turn Facebook on. And give yourself about 5 minutes and tell me this world don't need the church more than anything. You know what's going to push this church down the road? The people. Because we are the church. And if we're not praying for the church, we're not praying for the kings and the people in authority, if we're not doing these things, we are not doing what we're called to do. Our prayers are powerful. And imagine a church of this magnitude begins to pray, and we flip back over to what Dutch Sheet says, and it says that it releases cumulative amounts of God's prayer until enough has been released to accomplish His will. Let this church get on its knees and pray daily as a whole, and watch this community and the communities around us transform. It has to. It's biblical. We want this church to push down the track and be what it's supposed to be. It starts with prayer. That's it. Am I right, Doc? It starts with prayer. Okay? All right. We got a little homework. I know you're excited, Eric. You look on the back. I want you to take this home. And there's these different types of prayers. Hey, guys, listen, I can give you this promise. If you'll take home and be serious about this, all right, and look at these examples of your, and use these in your life, I promise you, you'll have some results to write down. And I want you to bring those back to class next week and share with the teacher and share with the class of what God did. This is one of the most powerful weeks in Grow 2 to me. Because when people take this home and apply God's word to it, to see what God did, it excites everybody in the room. It shows proof of what prayer does. Okay? Remember, in Grow 2, we will have, there's a Bible reading plan. We do memorize Scripture in here. It's time to come on up. We're going to memorize Scripture in here. And yes, you're going to get called upon to do Scripture. Table host, lead the way. All right, we should be able to call on you at any given time, and you know that Scripture. All right, study your Scriptures. We're not doing one this week, all right, but we will start that soon. But if you look on the Bible plan in the back, I would ask you to read the chapters assigned for week one. Hey, guys, keep up with that Bible plan. Make a commitment to this. You're going to get out of this what you put in it. If you'll commit to this process and you'll pour yourself into it, I promise Jesus will pour Himself out on you. And you'll come out of this on the other end transformed, no doubt in my mind, okay? I'm going to wrap us up with prayer, and I'm going to get us out of here. How to do on time? Man, I got 4 minutes. What you talking about? I've lost 42 pounds, and we got 4 minutes left. All right, I'm going to pray us out of here. Father, we thank You, God, that You have a roadmap for everything. And Your roadmap starts, number one, with relationship. But God, outside of that relationship, as we begin to draw closer to You, God, You give us a roadmap of prayer, of conversation with You. And God, just as we sit down with a friend and get to know a friend or a family member or a loved one or a spouse, God, that connection comes through conversation. God, those intimate moments come through conversation. Those deepened relationships, those spiritual moments come through conversation. God, the same works in more of a powerful way with You. God, as we make time to sit down and visit with You, God, as we make time to give You thanks for what You've done, what You're doing, and what You're going to do in faith, God, as we dig our heels in and pray those supplication prayers, God, for those walls and mountains in our life, God, that are beating us up as we dig our heels in and find that position of purpose on our knees with our head in the dirt, God, crying out to the Savior. And God, as accumulative drops of power begin to rain down on our life, God, we begin to see change. We begin to see peace. We begin to see power. God, we begin to see structure and strength in all that we do. And God, I just pray that You illuminate the people and the things that are in our life that need intercessory prayer. God, who's that family member? Who's that coworker? Who's that friend? God, who's that person or that thing in our life that needs the touch of Jesus? God, convict our hearts and open our mind and our eyes and our ears, God, and I pray for spiritual vision, God, that we may see these areas that, number one, need you, but God, most of all, that we seek you in these. And God, I pray for a hunger that wells up inside of us, God, that we can't eat your word enough. God, we can't worship you enough. We can't praise you enough. We can't seek you enough, God. We can't spend enough time with you, Father. God, I just pray your hand upon Grow Track 1, 2, 3, over in Counter, over in Glacia Grow Track. God, praise God for that. Over our groups, over our staff, over this class, over this church, over the new families that are coming in. God, thank you for entrusting us with your sheep. Use us this week, God, to change the course of someone's life. In Jesus' name, amen.